Every morning when I wake to see the sun, I can't help but think about the Lord and all the things He's done. He meets my every need. He's been so good to me, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all He's done. For all He's done. I'm gonna lift my hands and praise Him for all He's done. I'll try to live my life to please Him, even though I don't deserve to live. My life has just begun, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all He's done. There are many things that I could praise God for. If I started now until I die, there'd still be many more. If I could mention only one, I'd have to thank Him for His Son. And that's enough to praise the Lord for all He's done. For all He's done. I'm gonna lift my hands and praise Him for all He's done. I'll try to live my life to please Him, even though I don't deserve to live. My life has just begun, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all He's done. For all He's done. I'm gonna lift my hands and praise Him for all He's done. I'll try to live my life to please Him, even though I don't deserve to live. My life has just begun, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all He's done. For all He's done.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Amy. Appreciate the song tonight. And how was the Christmas? Did you have a good Christmas? Boy, I enjoy Christmas time. There's nothing like getting together with family and eating. That's what you do, right? That's what everybody does. So tonight's message about gluttony. No, I'm just kidding. It's not going to be about gluttony at all. Won't preach about that tonight. But I do want to say, as I always start off a message, I appreciate the opportunity to preach behind this pulpit. And for our pastor, I appreciate the investment that he's made in my life and so many in this church as well. And whenever he's not here, it just never feels like the same. Or I told him on whatever day we talked, I was talking to him and I said, it's always different. There's just something different when your preacher's not here. It's not a negative thing per se. It's just not the same, you know. And it's like having a family member that's not there for Christmas almost, you know. It's just like, it's just not quite, everything is not yet the same or not quite the same. So, but I want to say, first of all, as well, I appreciate the help Sunday night. So many of you stuck around to help us rip out carpet, and I appreciate the help. And we got it out in no time, and they actually put all the new carpet in one day. They finished today, and so that's an answer to prayer, and we'll get those rooms ready to go. In fact, I'll put another plug in. If you're available Saturday before bus meeting at 9 o'clock, we want to put those rooms back together. So if you're around about 9 o'clock, any teenagers or able-bodied men, if you can help us, that would be a great blessing this coming Saturday. And so I'm not going to preach tonight about any volleyball dream teams. I'm not going to go down that road tonight. That's already been mentioned as well. However, I will have to say that I've been crushed ever since Sunday after finding about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. I'm still having reeling from that, Brother Mick. I don't know how I'm going to make it. But we're here for church, and so I'm excited about being in church tonight. And there's no better place. You know, people pass by, cars pass by all the time this place, and you wonder where they're going, what they're doing every night, or where they're headed, or what their goal in life is. And, you know, it's kind of where we're going to go tonight is a little bit about goals, and we're approaching a new year. And so there in Genesis chapter 4, we'll start off the message, Genesis 4 and verse number 1. Very familiar passage of Scripture, but reading this, and I don't know how you all do, preacher kind of got me on it, you know, when you finish your Bible reading, just kind of pick different places where you begin reading and what you read. So I'd end up here and reading this, and then through another series of events kind of brought my attention to this passage of Scripture that I never really thought about before. So we'll pick it up in verse number 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Verse 8, And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. Verse 9, And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Tonight, the title of the message is Building or Burning. Building or Burning. Let's pray. Father, I pray tonight the message. I pray that you'd control my mind. I pray that you control, Holy Spirit, my tongue, my thoughts. I pray that they'd be under subjection to you, and that's what is said would be glorifying and honoring to you. Lord, I pray it would be a blessing. I know this is a Wednesday night church service, and Father, I pray that we'd engage in what you have for us this evening. In your name we pray. Amen. No doubt this time of year, people get into the thought of a new year. And this year brings about the end, and then starting up, you have what everybody knows as the New Year's resolutions. What are we going to do for the new year? And so, I'm not going to give you 50, but I came across 50 New Year's resolution goals. And kind of fitting for our 50th anniversary coming up for next year, but I won't give you all 50 of those. Some of them are very obvious. I'll give you a few of them, but of course, one is the first one, get in shape. That's everybody's, you know, New Year's resolution. Start eating healthier food and less food overall. Stop procrastinating. One on the 50 list there. Improve your concentration and mental skills. Meet new people. There's another one. Become more active. There you go. Become more confident and take some chances in life. Earn more money. Wouldn't everybody want that? That would be on the list, but there you go. Become more polite. Reduce stress. Wouldn't that be nice? Learn to be happier with life. Get more quality sleep. There you go. By doing so, you can take the next one. Watch less TV. That's probably a good one. Read more. Get out of debt. Learn a new language. There you go. Spend less time on social media. Start writing a book. There was several others that some were very obvious and some were just like, all right. But one in particular kind of got my attention. And all of these had different ways to achieve these goals, how to achieve these goals. But one in particular really stood out to me, and this was it. Get better at something you love. And yet they followed it with something. It says, imagine if you were a goalie and the goals you allowed dropped significantly. Or if you're a baseball player and you could round the bases and not get winded, or if you are a cyclist who can now climb that big hill and keep going without having to stop and catch your breath. I don't know who these people are that can do these things, but I don't fit in any of that category. A cyclist, a baseball player, and a goalie. I don't know if it was written to those that are super active, but definitely not me. But I thought all these goals, you know, you read, and there are self-help books out there, things that, you know, to motivate you for the next year and what you can do. And yet, all these goals that I kept reading, nothing, not one of those goals that I read out of the 50 had anything to do with anything spiritual. Not one. I mean, the closest that they kind of got to that was, you know, reading a book. That was about it. That was as close as they really got. But not one of those goals that I read anyway, that came across, would benefit, if you will, the spiritual life. It's kind of sad. There's 50 things out there that people, quote unquote, you know, they're looking for to a new year, and not one of them has anything to do with even, you know, attending church or giving to an organization that's affiliated with a church. Nothing. None of it. All of them were about how to better yourself. That's all they were about. All those goals. But tonight, I want to focus on what we read here on one concern from the story that hopefully we can all avoid. Hopefully an area that we can all look at and say, you know what? I don't want that in 2019 to be something that trips me up. Something that, and that one thing we get into seeing here, Cain and Abel, two brothers. And that one area is bitterness. Bitterness. Bitterness is being resentful. We just got done with Christmas. Did you find that somebody else got something that you wanted for Christmas? Not to get too close to the fence, but yeah, that's... No, I mean, I was satisfied, praise the Lord. You know, blessing, that was a fun time opening gifts, getting those things. But bitterness is like cancer. If you don't tear it out at the root, it will consume whatever it attached or is attached to. It just is there. And the life, we're going to look at several things tonight, but we're going to look at two brothers and how did Cain end up to a place where he killed his own flesh and blood, his own brother? He got to a place, and I really believe, honestly, reading the passage of Scripture, that Cain became so bitter, so upset with his brother and what his brother did and what happened with his brother that he ended up killing him. He killed him over it. You hear about stories in the news about things that happen and, you know, people not getting along or, you know, running over somebody because they didn't get what they wanted at the store, you know, all those things around Thanksgiving. But you don't hear very many stories about somebody just being so upset and so mad that they lashed out and killed their own brother or sister. It's pretty rare. But here we have not very many passages in the Scripture, and yet it happens. We have a death right away. Two brothers that were bringing an offering to the Lord and that God was looking for, and He had respect for what Abel brought, the firstlings, the Bible says. That's the first fruits of what he had. And yet it must have been that Cain, obviously, that he didn't have respect and just brought whatever he had. He didn't bring the first, right, the tithe. He didn't bring that to the Lord. He didn't offer that to Him. The best first. Cain got mad. He got upset. In fact, in verse 5, he says he was wroth. He was really mad. He was so mad that it was inside his heart. He developed the bitterness so much that it got inside of him. And it was running him. It was ruling him. Till eventually he got to the place where everybody outside saw it on his face. In fact, the Bible says his countenance showed on his face. They could see it. Hey, what's wrong with you? In fact, God told him, what's going on? And in the brag vernacular was, what's up, man? What's going on with you? Right? What happened? What is going on? What is your problem? Then God says to him, he knew what was going on. But he asked him, he said, it must be sin that lieth at the door. There's got to be something inside that's causing the issue, causing the problem. Cain, the only person he really should have been mad at was his own himself. He really just should have been mad at himself. But he got into a position where he obviously had some time and he began looking. Began looking around and he had too much time on his hand. He got looking around and, you know, I wonder, that's probably not my fault. How was I supposed to know? Really? It's probably my brother. He just never told me. He never gave me the information. It's his fault. He's the one. And he began to blame. He played the blame game. He began to, in his own heart, I believe that he began to just get ugly towards his brother. Cain got so upset that he ended up killing his own brother. An opportunity that I look at where Cain had to help build in an area of his life, it turned him into burning his entire life. Instead of building in an area, it burned him up. It just burned him up. He was not going to stand for it. He was not going to go, let's look what happens then to Cain. Look at verse 10. And he said, what hast thou done? The Lord says this. And what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. He said, whoa, wait a second. I didn't realize it was going to be this. I didn't realize it was going to be this much. Lord, come on, that's too much for me to bear. The Lord said, behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive, a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain. How'd you like to have that? Set a mark on him. Read on there. Lest any finding him should kill him. Verse 16, and Cain, this is one of the saddest things, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Cain turned his life, what could have been a life of building off of what happened in his life, to a life that was just burn up. In fact, he lived the rest of his life and that's the way it was. He was burn up. In fact, the verse we read there in verse 12, the Lord tells him, when thou tillest the ground, it shall be henceforth yield unto thee her strength. It's going to be harder than what you thought. Be much tougher than what you thought. Way harder than it would have been if you just would have listened. If you just would have obeyed the first time. You know, we were yesterday, for my father-in-law, we were putting together, or stacking, I should say, some wood that he had gotten. And he has a fireplace, and so we were stacking wood. And it got me thinking about this passage of Scripture. And, you know, wood, there's a lot of uses for wood. We know that. Wood used for light. Wood's used for heat. Wood's also used for building. You build things. You put things together. And a lot of those uses, we can draw some comparisons of. You know, take building a fire, for example. When you put together, if you guys have ever, ladies for that matter, you put a fire, you got a fire going, or getting ready to start a fire. If you've ever been camping, you know you try to stack the wood in a way where you can get the smaller pieces or the kindling underneath there and start that first before you just throw on one of those big logs. And, you know, you get it going and then you begin to blow on it and get a little heat and finally a ember starts. And when that fire gets going and gets hotter and hotter and hotter, and then eventually you throw another log on when it starts going out a little bit. And when you're done, it just goes out. It just stops. There's nothing left. You know, that fire is all together. We're going to look at, I want to look at five different areas that we can build and not burn. From the life here of Cain and Abel, areas that we can look. I just want to spend the next few minutes talking about areas of bitterness. We as Christians can be builders and not burners. to build or to burn? First of all, number one, when building, you work. When burning, you watch. When building, you work. When burning, you just sit there and watch. Chapter 4, there, verse number 8, we see Cain talked with Abel. I think originally he started out and he said, let me see if I can just talk to him about this. Brother to brother, mano y mano, let's just see if we can hash this out with each other. Let's see what happens. I'll give my side, let's see what he says. And I think they had a conversation at the end of it. Cain obviously wasn't happy. He wasn't happy with the results. And it says, and it came to pass when they were in the field. Well, what were they doing in the field then? Working. Obviously, Abel was working. Cain, sounds to me like he was sitting and mulling over what had happened. He was getting hotter and hotter. And it just kept building. Just kept building and building and building. And I don't know if you've ever been there whenever you've not gotten all the story to something, maybe with your own kids, and you hear something and before you kind of rush to that judgment before you find out, and you know, as dad you want to handle it right away. I'm gonna nail them as soon as they walk through that door. It's gonna be good. You know, I can't wait. And you don't get all the facts. And then you feel bad afterwards, like, man, I should have waited. I know I should have waited. My wife told me I should have waited. I should have just waited it out, didn't get everything down. Cain, man, he jumped the gun. He was supposed to be working, but when he wasn't working, he was just standing back and watching. And I think that just time kept going. And as he watched, he just became, just burned within him. Oh, I can't believe it. Where if he would have been building, and if he would have been busy about doing something for the Lord, and if he would have been busy just hands were going and his mind wasn't consumed with this thing, if he wasn't watching, I don't think the end result would have happened. I think he would have been processing it a little better, but you know what? It consumed him. You know, a fire, as it starts going, it begins to get hotter and hotter, and it's hard to put out. It's hard to get that fire to stop. You build it to a point and you get it hot and you just keep, it can go for a long time. And I think sometimes that's, folks, where bitterness sets in. It just, instead of us building and getting past it, sometimes we just watch and it just, it makes us so mad. I'm going to handle this my way and I'm going to get it done. I'm not going to go to the Lord. I'm not going to ask Him. It's a Wednesday night, I know, I've been there. I've been there. And bitterness sets in. When we look in the Bible, in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 4, it said, I made me great works, I builded me houses, I planted me vineyards. They were doing work. Proverbs 24:27, prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. There are so many verses on building. Building. Build or to build. You know, watching involves little to no effort. In fact, it gives people time to dwell on faults and failures. Where building, your mind is constantly moving and it's constantly keeping you active. And where watching, just you're not doing anything. And I really think that's where Cain was at in this passage of Scripture. He just sat back and watched his brother work, and it just made him mad. In fact, he probably was sitting in the corner. You know, I just picture in my mind him leaning on a fence post like, I'm going to handle this. I'm going to get him. It's coming. And that bitterness just consumed him. It had a hold of him where it could not let go. It consumed him. And folks, tonight, bitterness can do the same thing to you. Can do the same thing to me. It can control us. If we don't build and get past it, we're going to be standing there the same, just like Cain did. We're going to watch. We're going to watch. Moving on from that, number two, I see in verse number 9, it says, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? He asked him a question like he didn't already know. Where's your brother at? And he said, I know not. Lie. Am I my brother's keeper? He gets a little bold with the Lord. A lot bold. Am I my brother's keeper? I think number two, when building you provide, when burning you provoke. When building you provide, when burning you provoke. Proverbs 14:1 says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. You know, one thing about a fire that I mentioned earlier, you know, when you get to burning or putting a fire together, eventually you got to stir it up, get those coals, and you put another log on there. You know, one thing that you use is a poker, right? Use these fireplace pokers. And I think that's really what Cain, what had happened in his life. He just wasn't going to let it go, and so he's going to stir it up a little more, throw a little log on. Stir it up a little more, throw a little log on. Stir it up a little more, throw a little... It was not going to die. And my friend, bitterness does the same thing. You continue to stir those embers up, you poke it a little more, throw another log on. It just keeps going. It just never stops. You see, building provides for others. You're busy. Kind of works hand in hand with number one, but when you're burning, all you're doing is waiting to poke again. It's like something you get a splinter in your finger and you hit it, or you know, gets agitated, or maybe it gets to a point where it festers and you know, it just, I got to get it, I got to handle it, I got to get rid of it, I'm going to pop it, I'm going to get rid of that blister, I'm going to get rid of it. And I think in some ways, a lot of ways, I think bitterness is like that. It's just, we want to come back and poke it again, just poke it again until it's never going to heal. Never going to get past it. That's what bitterness is. You're never going to get past it, you're just going to come back and poke it again. I'll fix that. I'll fix them. Who are we really hurting? Us. That's who we're hurting. We're only hurting us. We want to come back and poke it again. That'll solve it. That'll help the issue. That's much better. Cain said, Lord, am I my brother's keeper? Like that was going to help the situation. That'll help it out. I just killed my brother. Now I'm going to tell the Lord off? Wow. Bitterness causes you to do some funny things. Bitterness. Number two was built when building you provide, when burning you provoke. You know, number three, the other thing I see, verses 10 through 12 in that passage of Scripture in Genesis 4, when building, if you'll forgive my crudeness, but when building you smell like sweat, when burning you smell like smoke. When you're building, you're getting your hands dirty. You're getting busy. You've got something done. I think Abel was in, he was getting the job done. Cain was standing back and like a fire, if someone was sitting there and they were just poking it and poking it and poking it and poking it, never letting that fire go out, eventually they're going to walk home and, where have you been? What have you been doing? What happened to you? I'll never forget. We were out on a father-son camp out. And we went to Mark Twain Lake. And on the camp out, it poured down rain. Nobody had thought to bring any wood. Nobody put any in the back of a car or truck. Nobody thought about wood. So here we are. We're supposed to feed everybody. And we had nothing for a fire. There's nothing. So a couple of us teenage guys, we got a great idea that we were going to go grab some wood that we saw over there that was kind of underneath this abandoned, we called it a mine, I don't think it really was a mine, but this abandoned area. We were going to go over there and we were going to pull some logs that we found over there. Little did we know, those logs were actually railroad ties. If you know anything about railroad ties are soaked in something called creosote. And that stinks. Smells horrible. And so here we were. We thought we were the greatest thing. You know, here we had just saved the day. The teenage guys come to the rescue. And we start throwing these things on top of the fire. And the cloud of black smoke is just billowing off the top of that. And so They thought, well, it's hot, so let's put a pan underneath there. The food smelled horrible, tasted horrible. It was a bad idea. Bad idea. But you know, that's the thing about, you know, being around a campfire. You never know that you're the one that smells like smoke. Till you get away from it, then you realize, wait a minute. I do smell. It is me. It's not everybody else. Same thing bitterness does. Same thing bitterness. It's everybody else. Everybody else smells. It's not me. Can't be me. Everybody else's fault. It's not mine. It's got to be their fault. Not me. Can't be. Yet we... It's like the hand that's right in front of our nose. We can't see it. It's right there. That's what bitterness does. Verses 10 through 12 there, as we read already, we see that when thou tillest, verse 12, tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto her strength. Fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. God tells him what's going to happen. So number one we looked at there was when building you work, when burning you watch, when building you provide, when burning you provoke. And number three, when building you smell like sweat, when burning you smell like smoke. Number four, when building your foundation is firm, when burning you fall. When burning, verse number 13, and Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. He crumbled. There's nowhere else to go. He'd been caught. It's all over. In the Christian life, a firm foundation must involve Christ to be fruitful. In a life of a bitter person, you can't build anything for any length of time, because once you do, eventually you end up right where you were before. You're right back where you started. Right back there. Turn, if you would, real quick to Luke. The book of Luke. Hold your hand in Genesis 4. But in Luke chapter 6, in Luke 6, just two verses, and we'll come back to Genesis 4. But Luke 6, chapter 6, verse 47 and verse 48, it says there, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon that rock. It was founded on Christ. Hey, it was built on a firm foundation. Hey, when bitterness does start to show up, if you've been built on a solid foundation, it's not going to disrupt you. It's not going to have a big impact. It's not going to control you. It's not going to be something that consumes you like it did Cain. Hey, you have to be built on a solid, on a firm foundation. You've got to have it be built so it's not going to be destroyed. It eventually, when burning, it's going to fall. You know what happens with a fire? That wood gets going. What do you see? Those logs begin to kind of, one moves and the other moves. And, you know, if you're like me, it's never good enough. It's not just quite right. So you got to mess with it and you got to move it around. I think that's just guys, right? We all do that. You just got to get it just right. And then it's that perfect fire, right? It's just right. It's built perfect. And then next thing you know, log falls. It gets hot again and log falls. You know, you're constantly, you know what? It's kind of like the Christian life. We fall, we got to get back up again. We do something wrong, we've got to get back up again. We've got to get back up again. You know, when somebody's in bitterness, they just want to be left alone. I'm going to just stay where I'm at. Don't pick me up. Don't help me out. I want to wallow right where I'm at. You know what happens eventually? Number five, when building, you're focused. When burning, you're filthy. When building, you're focused, but when it's burning, you're filthy. You know, eventually what's left is ashes. There's nothing left. There's nothing left to build on. There's nothing left when it's all said and done. Verse 14, and back to Genesis 4, and verses 14 through 16, as we read, Just for time's sake, I won't mention all of it, but we know what happens there in the passage of Scripture. And to me, one of the saddest things is said there, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. He left the presence of the Lord. He was filthy. He had it all over him. He was so consumed, and yet I don't see anywhere all he said to the Lord was, "It's too much for me to bear." Never one time did he say, "I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. Please help me in this situation. It's too much, Lord, for me to bear." That's all he kept thinking about. "It's way too much. I can't handle this." And I think the Lord said, "It's all right. Somebody touches you, you're marked. Somebody touches you, sevenfold. Seven more. It happened to them seven times. What's happened to you?" You know what happens? That filth touches others. Bitterness latches on to somebody else. It touches somebody else, to somebody else, to somebody else, to somebody else. You know what happens when you get in, you've maybe been there before, you get around a fire, I mean your feet are just covered in ash. And everywhere you go, you see your footprints. Everywhere you go, you see where you've gone. Everywhere you go, if you touch something, it's got that film, that presence on it, where you got to get to somewhere to wash it off. And even when you try to wash it off, your hands still look a little black. And you try more, and you put a little more soap, and you still, it's not quite enough, and you can't rub it off enough. My friend, bitterness sometimes gets us the same way. As much as we try to get rid of it, it consumes us. As much as we try to run away from it, it consumes us until we get to a point where we crucify it. Till we get to a point where we pluck it out. It's going to. Can't poke it. Can't continue to just sit there and poke at it. Got to sear it. Got to get to a point where it's either ripped out. No, if you've ever had, again, apologize for the analogy, if you've ever had a wart before, only way to get rid of that thing is to dig it out. Pull the roots out. Get it out. It's got to get out. And sometimes, folks, when we get something that gets inside of us, the only way we're going to get it out is pull it out. Confess it and forsake it. Get rid of it. It'll consume you. Hebrews 12:1 tells us, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. And the sin which does so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Friends, it's possible. Say, "I don't know, I'm too far." I don't think so. Hasn't gotten to a point like Cain and Abel, has it? Killed your own brother? Killed your own family? But don't let bitterness consume you. I want to be a builder, not someone just looking to burn everything down the first chance I get, or the first person I can come along or comes along my path. Tonight, maybe it's a relationship with a family member that needs to be changed. Maybe it's with a church member. I don't know. Lord, put it on my heart. I was going to preach a different direction. It just came yesterday. As a result of some Bible reading, I thought, man, I never thought about that before. But you know, he got so bitter. How about tonight? What are we going to resolve? 2019's coming. How about resolve to get rid of bitterness? Get rid of bitterness in our life. Cast that aside. Let's be builders and not burners. Where are you tonight? What's your situation? What are you going through that's just can't get over it? It's going to consume you. It's going to take you down to the point where, as we finished, you're filthy. Then nobody wants to be around that. Nobody wants to be around. When you get somebody like that, it's like, go take a shower. Get away from me. I don't want to know. Don't get close to me. And that's exactly what bitterness will do. I don't want to be around you. Don't get close to me. Hey, where are we tonight? Where are you, Christian? Where are you tonight in this area? How about tonight, start 2019 off with the resolution that I want to be someone who builds up, not burns down. Let's bow our heads for prayer. As the ladies come, maybe you're here tonight, you heard the message. You say, Brother Mike, that's me. I don't know. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hand. I'm just going to ask with your heads bowed and eyes closed. You'll stand to your feet. Use an old-fashioned altar as the invitation, as the instruments play. I want to get it right. I want to come. I want to be a builder. I don't want to be somebody who lets it burn, lets it fester in my life.